Cape Talk, Pippa's Planet.
Right, you may already be aware of reports that a highly invasive beetle species is threatening trees in the Western Cape. The polyphagous shot hole borer beetle has been found in Somerset West. And in fact, the City of Cape Town's invasive species unit has swung into full gear to try and deal with the pest before the invasion spreads. But we will talk to a representative of that unit slightly later in the segment. But before we do that, I thought we should hear from someone who can tell us more about this beetle and why we need to be concerned about its presence here in the Cape. Professor Francois Roots is an associate professor in the Department of Conservation, Ecology and Entomology at Stellenbosch University's Faculty of Agri-Science. Lovely to have you with us, Francois. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Pippa.
What do we know about this beetle? Where does it come from? How big is it? What does it actually look like?
Okay, so the beetle is a minute little beetle. It's only about 2 millimeters in length. But it has a huge name, very long name, called Euvaliaceae whitfordiodendris. And it's thought to originally come from Southeast Asia somewhere, and probably a place like Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And it landed in South Africa, most likely on pallets associated with shipping of products, so those wooden pallets. Uh-huh. That are not treated very well in other parts of the world, and these things get infested. And with insects, and they land at our shores, and they can start exploring. It came from Vietnam. It landed in South Africa probably about 20, well, the earliest report we know of is 2016, when Judy Parp found it in KZN. We have a sequence of this beetle as early as 2012 from the Richards Bay area in KZN.
Okay, so it's been here a little while. We think we know how it got here. Why is it such a worry that it is here, Francois? What is the risk?
Well, the biggest problem with this little beetle is that it has a huge host range of trees that it can attack. So most pests and diseases that we have dealt with in the country before has one or two different hosts, agricultural hosts or some pine trees or something that they go for. With this little beetle, actually has a very wide host range. In California, where this beetle has been found about 10 years ago, this beetle has been reported on more than 300 different tree species. So in South Africa, we've reported it now from close to 100 different tree species, of which about 20 are really, really at risk from being killed by this beetle. So the big problem with this beetle is that it has this big host range, but it's also extremely dangerous. Certain hosts, about 20 or so hosts in South Africa, are really susceptible to this beetle, and they actually can rapidly kill these trees within a few years.
Okay, so my understanding is that it attacks the water-carrying tissues of the tree, and that there is something to do with the relationship that it has with different fungal symbiosis, with a fungus of some kind. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. So this little beetle, actually, on its own, it can't do much. It just drills a little hole into the tree. So goes straight through the tree into the sapwood of the tree. So that's under, a few centimeters under the bark. Yep. And there it constructs a tunnel, and it carries a fungus with it. And this fungus starts to grow inside the tunnels, and the female beetle and also all the offspring actually feed on the fungus. They don't eat the tree, they eat the fungus. And this fungus is actually what's causing the problem. So this fungus grows in that sapwood, blocks all the vessels and channels in the tree, basically the tree is girdled. So no water can go up to the leaves and no nutrients can go down into the root system, and that's what eventually kills the tree.
Okay, and is there then a risk of trees falling over, or is it simply the concern that it can spread from tree to tree and suddenly a huge variety of trees in the Western Cape could be lost?
Yeah, so it's actually multiple problems we have. So if you think about urban environments, so some of the trees that are very susceptible in our cities and in our towns are things like oak trees, liquid amber trees, London plane trees. So some of the trees that we really plant everywhere, and these things are attacked by the beetle and they can quickly die. And then you have all these dead trees lining the streets or in the yards, and the branches start to fall down, fall on people, fall on property. So these trees have to be removed. And that's a very expensive exercise. Mm-hmm. And then if you go into the agricultural sectors, we actually don't know what it can do in the Western Cape yet on the agricultural trees. Things like we found it on apples and vineyards, grapevines before in garden settings, but not in the actual agricultural areas yet.
Okay.
So we don't know what's going to do there, but in other parts of the country, they are actually quite devastating on things like avocado and pecan nuts. And if they get into those orchards, they cause real, real agricultural problems and real loss of money.
Okay. We'll be chatting to the city's invasive species unit in a minute to explain to us what they do about removing the affected trees very mm-hmm. carefully, etc. But Francois, just to give us a sort of a full picture of this current presentation of the beetle in Somerset West, I understand that two very keen-eyed conservationists spotted the signs of a possible infestation, and that's what basically raised the alarm. What would they have seen? What should the average gardener be looking for if they want to keep an eye on their trees?
Yeah, so there's another one of the big problems we have with this beetle is that, first of all, it's very small, so the symptoms initially are almost impossible to spot unless you know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And it also differs on different tree species. So some tree species, you'll see a little wet patch on the bark, and if you look closely, you might see a little hole there, a very small hole the size of a ballpoint pen, and that would be the first indication that this beetle might be infesting that tree. But other trees do not have that same reaction. They don't make gum or something like that.
Yeah.
So you can just see a little hole going into the tree with maybe some dust that's protruding from that little hole. And very importantly, this is the easiest to spot on living trees. So if the tree is still alive and you start seeing these little holes and symptoms on it, that should be the first alarm. If the tree is already dead and you see these little holes, that's an indication that other insects might have actually gotten hold of the tree after it died from other causes.
Right. Okay. Somebody's asking on our WhatsApp line, Francois, whether it's both sexes of the beetle that attack the trees.
Yeah. So this beetle is actually really strange in its reproduction. So the female beetles attack the trees. They're the only ones that can fly. So they drill a hole into the tree. They make this elaborate network of channels in the tree, and they lay the first batch of eggs. If this female has mated before she started drilling the hole, then those eggs would hatch into males and females, and those would actually, brothers and sisters, would mate with each other. But if the female did not mate before she made this hole in the tree, she'll lay eggs, and that first batch of eggs will all be male, and then she'll mate with her own offspring, and then start producing males and females again. Yeah. So the males stay behind in the tunnel system. It's only the females that start to fly again.
Okay, fascinating. Again, we'll speak to the city about dealing with the trees that have already been affected. Somebody, though, asking an important question. Are there any natural predators that might take out this beetle? Do other animals or larger insects or perhaps birds feed on them, or are they simply too small to be a nutritional source for them?
I'm pretty sure there's quite a lot of insects and other small little predators that could feed on these guys. But once they find a foothold in a tree, there's very little biological organisms that can actually get to them inside the tree, because the tree often closes behind the beetle, the tunnel system, so nothing can get into these little holes.
Yeah.
In the native areas, I know there's some research currently happening worldwide where they're trying to find natural predators in Southeast Asia to test for biological control in South Africa. But we're also keeping a keen eye out for other organisms, fungi and nematodes and other little wasps and things, anything we can find that could possibly help to curb this problem.
I believe one of your MSc students, in fact, was involved in identifying that this was indeed the shot hole borer beetle and did the DNA testing, etc. So I hope that's part of the research as well, is how to get rid of it, Francois.
That is, yeah. So we're currently actually part of a whole network of researchers in the country. Currently there's about 8 universities involved, just looking at various aspects of the beetle, from the biology to what it's going to do in our native forests, and to some work done on the physiology and also on the control, including the biocontrol. So there's quite a lot of students, probably about 10 students earmarked to start working quite soon on this problem.
Well, let's hope that they make some serious headway. Professor Francois Ritz, thank you so much for chatting to us today and giving us a broad understanding of what everybody is so concerned about. The professor is an associate prof in the Department of Conservation, Ecology and Entomology at Stellenbosch University in the Faculty of Agri-Science. We really appreciate your input today. That's from somebody who's very much part of the response to this latest find in Somerset West. To talk to us more about the city's response, Chandra Roda is on the line with me, program manager at the invasive unit, the invasive species unit at this, of the city of Cape Town. Chandra, thanks so much for joining the conversation as well. I know the city has moved very fast in response to the news once it was confirmed that this is indeed the worrisome beetle. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that response has been?
Hi, good afternoon, Pippa. Yes, so what we've done as the city, we've developed a reporting tool on our website, and the website is capetowninvasives.org.za. The reporting tool assists us with the communities and everyone that members of the public can report any sightings of the shuttle border. We've also launched various media campaigns to assist us with awareness and obviously to spread the word. And if you, yeah, members of the public can just look out on the city's Facebook account, Twitter account, and also on our Facebook account for more information and updates on the shuttle border and various other invasive species.
Okay, so sorry to interrupt. Yeah, so really important for members of the public to keep their eyes on their trees, particularly in the Somerset West area where it's already been found. What are you going to do about those trees that you know have already been affected, Chandra?
Yeah, we've received 244 reports through our reporting tool. Unfortunately, 75 from that 244 is positive this far, and we have removed 65 of that 65 trees. Okay. So what we've done is we've also produced a protocol, and that's what we launched through our media office as well to make people aware of what they can do also and how to safely dispose of the biomass and safely remove the tree.
Okay, so this is really important. If you are going to take the tree down, you can't just send it to the dump because that could be a way to spread the beetle. What should happen to the remains of the tree, Chandra?
So the best practice that we've identified is to chip the material as small as possible. You can either bag the biomass, the chippings, and solarize that, or alternatively burn the biomass. That would be one of the best options.
Okay,
that is currently available.
So either burn it or bag it and solarize it. I assume that means exposing it to sunlight?
Correct, yes.
Okay, is that good enough? Is the heat of the sun enough to kill that beetle?
Yes, so if you chip the material as small as possible, most of the beetles will be killed through that process, but solarization also assists with also killing the fungus as well.
Okay, somebody's SMS'd asking if there's any risk to compost heaps. So if you took that chipped matter, would it be all right to put it on a compost heap or not?
Definitely not. That's why okay. I'm proposing that it needs to be bagged first, solarized, and then afterwards it can be composted, yeah. But we need to contain it. So what we've included in our protocol is to, we would like each and everyone to report it so that we have a handle on the extent of the problem, and also the biggest concern for us at this moment is if people just cut down the trees, the movement of wood in and out of Somerset West and in the broader city of Cape Town metropole, but also cleaning all materials once you've cut down the tree or obviously gotten in contact with the infested material.
Okay, what should you clean it with, Chandra?
So we're using F10 at the moment because it's an antifungal. So we use it to on our clothes and also to clean off any chainsaw and any tools that we use during the operation.
Okay, now I'm assuming advice on all of this will be on that website, capetowninvasives.org.za. If somebody does load a report and maybe a photograph to back up their suspicion that this is indeed a beetle infestation, will you then send somebody from the invasive species unit out to go and assess each report on each tree?
Yes, currently we are assessing each and every report to ensure that we verify if it is a positive or a negative report. And so Pamutso Ramabulana, who's our project manager for our early detection rapid response program, he and his team goes out, they verify, and they also report back to the members of the public to either say yes, it's positive, or no, it's negative, and then we take it from there.
Final question, Chandra. Is it, if this beetle is found in a tree on your property, is it to the homeowner's expense to go through that process of having the tree cut down and disposed of in that fashion?
Currently, we've added this to our early detection rapid response program. And at this stage, the city is paying for the removal once the tree has been reported on our website and it has been identified as a positive sighting.
Thank you so much for that update, Chandra Rhoda, Program Manager of the City of Cape Town's Invasive Species Unit. Let me just repeat that website if you're concerned and would like to post some photographs and have someone come out and look at your trees. CapeTownInvasives.org.za. Tony, very useful WhatsApp. Thank you. Telling everybody, if you are purchasing pallets for home use, please look out for the HT mark on the pallets, which tells you the wood has been heat treated and that would have destroyed the beetle. You don't then run the risk of having it brought into your home, sneaking in through the pallets. Tony, thank you very much. I had not heard of that before, so appreciate your tip to look out for the HT mark for heat treated.